as a family. Whether we're in person or online, we're a family. And we come together to worship the one who's made us family, the one who deserves all praise, all glory, all honor. Sing with us. Praise.
You are the source of my strength. You are the strength of my life. Powerful words for a powerful God. I will be reading to you the responsive reading this morning, and it's coming from Hebrews 10th chapter, 14, 25th verse. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You are not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin." Congregation.
Then I said, "Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures." First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He canceled the first covenant in order to put the second into effect.
For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sin. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor of God's right hand.
There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by the one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit testifies that this is so. For he said, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them on their mind."
Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place.
And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere heart, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water.
Together, let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Not only, Lord, because we are here, Lord, but because you are here, Lord. We want you to be here, Lord. This is for the glorification of you, Lord, not us. We're thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. We're thanking you for this beautiful day, Lord. And as Jenny said, every day that you have made is beautiful, Lord. Thanking you, Lord. We praise your name. We love you. We lift you up, Lord. Something that we all, Lord, understand the depth of your love, Lord. The depth of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Even there are people in hospitals on ventilators praising the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
I know that's shocking to think about, but if they know Jesus, they're praising the Lord. They're singing hallelujah anyhow, because whether to live is Christ, to die is more Christ. Dang. So they're praising the Lord. The birds that hang out on the wire across the street, they praise the Lord because that lady across the street keeps feeding them. The dog that wags his tail, he's praising the Lord because God created him and he wags his tail. That's part of it. He's worshiping. He's praising. But here we are called the children of God by his sacrifice for us. He did it for us, not the dogs, not the birds, for us, to redeem us, to make us holy, so we could give him true, unadulterated, full-hearted praise. So let everything that have breath do what?
Praise the Lord.
He's worthy. He's worthy. It's our assurance. This is how we know. If we know, we're saved. Not because of what he's doing. Not even because we praise him. But because of what he's done. What, how he is. How he died. How he rose. It's our assurance, it's our hope, it's everything. Blessed and our assurance is truly blessed. Christian, other than, well, that's what we do here in America. If you can't explain what the cross means to you, what that empty tomb means to you, what it means to be redeemed, to be set free, to be delivered, to be escorted right into the very presence of God, if you can't explain that, I don't know what kind of Christian you are. But that word Christian comes from the people of the way, the ones who are like the Christ. And his name is Jesus. Pastor's coming now to lead us an altar call. We get to do this because of Jesus, to go to the throne of grace together.
Amen. And breathe out. See, I should have been one new kind of preacher, shouldn't I? See, look at Nicole. She's about to run around the room. Amen. What's up, Nani? How you doing? Amen. You know you're going to win. Because your name didn't win. You can't do it but win. So when you look at your friend, say, my name, Daylene. I win. That's what I do. Amen. Amen. Let us dredge up all that stuff that be messing with us all week long. Amen. Let us dredge up that stuff that we cannot do anything about, and let us cast all those cares on Jesus. You know why? He cares for us. So you can get unmet at the people who you thought cared for you and didn't, and wouldn't. You can get unmad at them, amen, and cast that on Jesus, because he cares for us, not them, amen? Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we do praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, that you have given us this opportunity once again to come into your house and to offer up a worship and a praise that you are so much deserving of. Father, we thank you from last Sunday to this Sunday. You kept us. No matter what we went through, wanted to go through it, didn't like going through it, didn't like being in it, wanted to get out of it, no matter what the situation, whether it was a Philippian tale or whether we were praising you on the mountaintop, whatever it was, here we are again. Satan took a shot this way. Satan took a shot that way. Satan said this. Satan said that. He did this. We said that. But here we are. None of it was able to stop us from being here so we can once again see our brothers and sisters in Christ who we know have been dealing with trials and tribulations. So when they come through the door, Jesus was like a walking testimony to your goodness, to your mercy, to your grace. Because if it had not been for you, Jesus, who was all the way on our side, we wouldn't be here. But because you were with us, you kept us, you provided for us, no matter what conditions, situations or circumstances we found ourselves in, you got it done. So we thank you. And we just come here today to praise you for your goodness, to praise you for your grace. We know it's unmerited favor, and we enjoy that, and we thank you for it. But it's also the power to do what you called us to do. And we thank you for that. That when you call us to a work, you give us the power to do that work. When we need provision, you give us those provisions. You said in the mountain of the Lord, it will be seen. And I ask you, Jesus, just what does that mean? When you have a need, and that need is according to my will, it's already fulfilled. It was fulfilled when I ordained you before your mother and father knew you. When I set you apart, when I sanctified you for my service. Long before your mother and father even knew you. So, Father, we thank you for providing for us before we even were us. Before we got here as babies, there were parents. There was somebody who was willing to put one on us when we messed one up. There was somebody when our stomachs got empty and we couldn't talk, we just cried. Somebody knew what we needed. And we thank you for that. In that way, you made us just like Adam and Eve. Before they got here, you made everything they could need, so that they could do what Pastor Tate told us this morning. We are freed up to offer you up a hearty praise, a wholesome praise, a worthy praise. And we thank you for being so good to us. Father, we repent of all of that stuff that we did. We shouldn't have done it. We repent of all that stuff we said and we shouldn't have said it. We repent of all those thoughts that we shouldn't have thought, and we thought them anyway. We repent and confess before you now that we have sinned. We have come short of your glory, but we thank you that through Jesus Christ, all we have to do is what we just did, agree with you, confess our sin. We thank you for your forgiveness, and we thank you for working with us to clean up the mess that we made. Cleanse us, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And Father, we ask that you bless us when we go down from this place, that you bless us while we're in this place to concentrate on you. Yes, Lord, we have this, that, and the other to do next week, and maybe even later today. But at least, Father, let us be right here in the garden with you. Let us be right here. Let us be still. And let us, Heavenly Father, lay in this green pasture you've given us. And then, Jesus, when we get ready to leave here, lead us by that still water. Restore us for your name's sake before we have to go back into the valley of the shadow of death. So we ask for your will to be done in our lives here on earth, just like it is in the lives of those who are in heaven. We want to be like Jesus. We want our thoughts to be yours. We want the things we do with our hands to be you working through us. Wherever you are on any position, that's where we want to be. We want to always do those things that please you, whether we're here on earth in this body or whether we're absent from this body and present with you in heaven. We want to do what pleases you. And we know, Heavenly Father, that we have to play our part. That we can't just say these things, pray these things, but we have to walk in these things. We have to believe and know that you empower us to do what we ask you to do through us, for us, and to us. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us. Just because you want to. Thank you, Father, that we couldn't do nothing to make you feel the way you feel about us, but Jesus caused you to look at us with eyes of love. You're never angry at us. You're never mad at us. Yes, you get discouraged when we go left and not walk in the blessed life that you called us to live, the best life. So help us, Father, to pay attention to you. Help us, Lord, to in all our ways, all of them, Jesus. And if we got a way that we can't acknowledge you, help us to get rid of that way. But in all our ways, help us to acknowledge you. And we know that we can depend on you to give guidance to our steps. And in that way, Lord, you will order our steps. Father, I ask you that you bless Wonderful Christ Ministries as you have. Father, you've kept them from the time we started this until now. We have not suffered many homegoings except for those who you called home. And these, Father, even the ones who had COVID, you healed them and restored them. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work I see you doing in them. I remember each one of them when they came here. And I know what they're like now. So I see the work that you are doing on them, Jesus. And I just pray that that work continue. I pray that you give them favor everywhere they go. I pray that you bless them on every hand. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless them so well everybody around them recognizes, just like they did about the children of Israel, that it was you who caused them to be who they are. We love you, Jesus. Help us to live that out in our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think I just broke my own rule. Maybe next time.
We're introducing you all to a new song, not for us to sing so y'all can listen, but for you to sing with us. 18 months ago, we were going to do this song, and then COVID shut us down. And it's been one we've been holding, so I'm glad today. Amen. Where did that baby come from? I'm glad today that we can share this song with you. It comes right from the Word, really. And it's about our purpose. We are a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. Amen? And we've been taught, and we've been learning. And we working on the doing. But it's, sometimes it gets confused. What should we do? One of the things we should do is found in Matthew chapter 7 at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he laid down his kingdom agenda, how those who live in his kingdom should live. And he says this in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." See, we can build a lot of stuff, but if we don't build it on Jesus and what he's done, we're the opposite. The name of the song is called "Build My Life." We build our lives on Jesus. We build our lives on the truth of his word.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of every praise we could ever bring, worthy of every
Open up my eyes and
God's people, you should say,
amen.
Time I see you, I start thinking about that song, and you say, hey, hey. I was singing it on the way in. Thankfully, I was in the car by myself, so nobody else had to listen to it. Good morning, Saints. I don't know about you, but this morning, I just feel like, oh, my God, it just feels so good to be a part of this. You know, like every play that's been on the field so far, the songs of praise and worship, the prayer that Pastor sent forward, the opening prayer this morning, it just feels so good to be a part of this. All across this nation right now, on Sunday, people are either at sporting events or about to go to sporting events, okay? But you know what? We're like on the winning team. We got Jesus, who's a quarterback, who ran and made the best touchdown ever. He brought us in, okay? Always out of the park. And then he messed up with a coach, a Holy Spirit, who is always telling us exactly what to do so we can win. I don't know. All I can say is I feel so good to be a part of this with each and every one of you. Those who are out there today, physically that I can see, and those of you in Blog Talk. Well, today, Pastor has a winning message that the Lord gave him. It is entitled The Rapture of the Church and the Tribulation Period. He's asked me to read 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 4, and Revelation 4, verses 1 through 4. So I'll start with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It is written, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God." Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after this.' And instantly, I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian, and the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white, and had gold crowns on their heads." This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Oh, my, we are blessed. For me, just reading those words are a source of blessing. These scriptures are comforting. We need not fear or have any anxiety if we would just trust. Do you believe every word that God has spoken as written is true? That's the real question I want you to answer, so let me ask it again. Do you believe every word that God has spoken as written is true?
Yes.
Well, then, take a moment right now and let every worry, care, fear, or dread for tomorrow lift from your mind and heart. With a spirit of joy and peace, let us sit at this table prepared with a meal of the word just for us. Do you feel special? All right, then. So God has given Pastor O a recipe for a sermon entitled The Rapture of the Church and the Tribulation Period. Pastor O, you've been cooking this up all week just for us, right? Pastor O, was that a yes? All right, then. Y'all heard that, right? Feel the love and repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. All week long. Amen. Heavenly meditation. Heavenly. Right, Crystal? Yeah. Amen. I should have never heard that. I should have never went to that church and heard that, yeah, because I've been messed up ever since. Wow. Yeah. Oh, holy time. It's time like, I'm going to get happy. I'm going to get up, look at my feet, and do my dance. Amen. I don't know why they look at the feet. You know, that part get me. You know what I'm saying? Put that head down and put my hands down. Amen. I saw it. You're after this church, so God. You know, people do that. They do that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day again, and we thank you for this word. And Father, we thank you for sharing with us what others don't get to know or see because they're not saved, because they don't have the Holy Spirit, they can't even understand it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us they can't. These things are spiritually discerned, and you've given us your Holy Spirit that we would have the right antenna to pick up the frequency of heaven so we can know these things. But this is some real deep stuff, Father, so help us to get it, because you're about to take us, and you're going to lead us in our present, and then take us to our future. And Father, I pray that when this is ended, what you showed me so long ago in Revelation chapter 4 that radically changed my life, you showed me what the end's going to be. I heard old folks saying in prayer meeting, they say, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. And you took me one day and taught me what they were talking about. You showed it to them. And so they had a faith that wouldn't quit. And Father, I thank you that you allowed me to see it, and I'm praying right now that you allow them to see the win, see the success, see the victory, and then live this present life knowing we have the victory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You will say, Lord, bless my ears, so they hear your word today. And bless my heart, so it receives and understands your word today. I acknowledge to you, there are some things I don't understand, but I'm here today to clear up those misunderstandings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Again, when we started this out, I didn't understand what the Lord was doing, but I do now. So we started out with the dangers of the last days. And we found out it wasn't what Satan would do to us, it's what we, amen, would allow to happen to us. That we would begin to grow weary of waiting on Jesus to come back, and so we begin again to live the way we did before we met him. So those are the dangers of the last days. You want to watch out for that. Then we talked about being a good soldier. We talked about not getting so tangled up in this world's affairs that you cannot please the one who enlisted you. It was a little bitty baby bottle back there on that table, the baby bottle. Even though I'm a man, amen, I drink a little bottle of water like a man. You know, it's a baby bottle. Amen. It's one of them Sheila bottles, little baby Sheila bottles. Amen. So we talked about the dangers for the last days, and then we talked about what it takes to be a good soldier. You want to be able to please the one who enlisted you. Amen. But if we become too overly involved in this world and its affairs, then Jesus can't use us, right? Because we're so earthly hooked up that we're no heavenly good, right? So we don't want that to happen. And then he took away our concerns about, well, who's going to provision us? Since we're in the army of the Lord, who's going to provide for us? When I was in the army, they provided everything. They told me to take everything I had that I came with, put it in a box, and ship it back home. And they provided everything, my shoes, my socks, my pants, and other stuff. Amen. They provided it all. So Jesus says, since you are in the army of the Lord, amen, one of Jonathan's favorite songs, I'm in the army of the Lord. Killing me, Dick, out singing it. But anyway, amen, he provides for us. See, the military didn't want you to have that concern. They wanted you to be, what, a trained fighter. Amen, somebody they could use in any way, shape, or form. So they made sure that you were provisioned. Kind of. And, but Jesus will provision you. For real, for real. Amen. And so we want to be a good soldier. And then last week, amen, what did we talk about last week? My God, 1 week. Amen. Matthew, into the church age. And that is where we are. We are right at the end of the church age. Now, we've been there for what? 2,000 years. 2,021 years. But to the Lord, 1,000 years is what? And 1 day is what? What that means is time does not matter to him because God is not bound by time. He gave time when you read in Genesis 1:1. That's when time started. The evening and the morning, a 24-hour period, constituted 1 day. 5 of those, 7 of those days constitutes one. Okay, 4 of those weeks constitute one. And 12 of those months constitutes what, one? Amen. So God gave time to the earth. He didn't give time to himself. So the Lord could call us home any moment. Amen. The church age could come to an end right now. We could be raptured out of here. So the Lord wants us to understand these things. He talked about some events that would take place, famines and wars and pandemics and all of these, the love of many growing cold. But those who what? Endure to the end. Those who practice living by faith, and by the word and power of God's word, they will what? Endure to the end. They will be what? Saved. So amen. Remember we talked about that word saved and how it's used. Amen. So when he says they'll be saved, it means the practicing of the word of God, putting the word of God in front of you against every situation, against every circumstance, that will give you the victory. That will enable you to what? Endure until the end of the church age. Why? Because Jesus told us we shall suffer what? In this life. So no matter how many super-duper holy preachers you hear talking about blessings and breakthroughs all the time, and yes, there's a place for that. But let me tell you, God want to bless you to get his word out. God want to bless you to be able to teach somebody else what his word says. God want to bless you to help somebody in or outside the body of Christ. God want to give you a breakthrough so your ministry can blow up. God want to give you, do you get the point? It's about what you're doing for the Lord that brings blessings and breakthroughs. It is not about the Lord just making your life a wonderful, wonderful life. You get to go on vacations. You get to go on trips. Now, that come with it, right? But it's not all of it. There will be times that God sends you on vacation. You go lay down in the green pasture, and he's going to determine when. Amen? And then after you've laid down in the green pastures long enough, he's going to get up. Y'all going to fellowship together. He's going to lead you beside still waters so he can center you, bring peace to you. And guess what, Jim? And then what come after that is he's going to tell you why he did all of that. He leads you in the path of righteousness for whose sake? Okay, and then after that, where you go? To the valley of the shadow of death. Amen? So enjoy the green pastures. Enjoy that still walk with Jesus by the still water, that water by the waters, okay? And know this, he did it for his sake. Because you're going back into what? The valley of the shadow of death. Amen? Amen. That's where Satan at. He's out there. He's waiting on you. He waiting on you. He's probably dealing with you right now. He wait. Most times he'll wait till you get out the door and start dealing with you in the parking lot. Amen. What he'll do is he'll pull out his eraser and he'll begin to erase everything you heard today, everything you received today. And that's why I pray that prayer before I preach, because I know what he's going to do. Was Jesus a master teacher? Could he seriously call himself rabbi, master teacher? Well, he taught his disciples three times that he was going to die and go to Jerusalem. Every time he told them that, here comes the devil with his big giant eraser, and he went to erase him. And then Jesus told him again, because he knew the devil had done erased it. And then Jesus told him a third time, because he knew the devil had erased it, but Jesus knew he was going to leave, so I hope you got it. Amen? And the Bible tells us that even after Jesus rose from the dead and was standing there in front of them, and I read it, Nicole, you know what it said? And so about it. I'm like, really? Y'all kind of bitch. Y'all kind of sick in the head, right? Amen. Jesus said, yeah, the head was just like you. My uncle used to call me rubber head. He said, everything I say to you bounce right off. Told me not to go home and soup up my daddy's lawnmower. I went home, Ed. I souped it up. That baby started running real fast, Tom. Then it started smoking. And then it cut off. And then I looked around, pushed it back to the shed, Precious, and went down and hung out on the coal. But somehow he knew I did it. Where's girl at? Why do I always get blamed? Just because I was the one who usually did everything, that don't mean I did this thing, even though I did that thing. Amen? I was that guy. Broke the sink off the wall, flexing my muscles. I was 16, and I was, you know, pumping weight, and I was getting muscles in my arms, getting cuts and stuff. So I got on the sink, and I pushed down and lifted myself up. Oh, Jesus. I got out of that whooping, though. You know how I got out that whooping? Y'all don't remember. See, y'all too young. Oh, God, I'm old. When you say that, you know you're old. Jesus. Hey, man. Well, they had these raincoats back in the day. Yeah, they was like made out of Kevlar. It was yellow and black. I had a yellow one. I put the raincoat and hat on. Hey, man. You know why I got out of that whooping, Lolo? Because everybody bust out laughing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. My father didn't play when he whooped. And after we got rawhide heads, you know what he did back then? You know what he did? I changed everybody's name. You know what he did? He went to the extension cord. All of a sudden, we got no more whoopings. We didn't get straight. We just didn't get caught no more. So sooner or later, church age is going to come to an end. And we're going to go home to be with the Lord. Amen? But before that happens, we will know. Jesus told us about the signs. He also told us about persecution. America used to be called a Christian country. Amen. But that is not the case these days. Every time Christians raise up, they try to slap them down. Air quotes. Amen. They try to slap them down. Every time, it used to be a time they would be proud to have the Ten Commandments in the police station, in government buildings. Now you can't have it no more. It used to be a time you could ride by the police station to see the nativity thing. You could even go to the police station and get Christmas stuff. They had a little dog with spots on it. Amen. Turns out them dogs sound crazy. But anyway, you know they are. You get one and see what you got. Them boys is ready to go. That's why they was on the fire truck. They grabbed a hose and go put the fire out there. Sat. Amen. Yeah, bite the fire, man. This my hose. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is before the end comes, before the end of the church age comes, things are going to be worse than they are today. Because remember when we talked last week about a convergence? Okay, we keep looking at one thing, one thing, one thing, but there's going to be a convergence of things. Okay, pretty much we're almost there when everything is going wrong all the time. And then there's going to be a great falling away. There's going to be an open rebellion against God and against God's people. And we are almost there today. We are almost to the place where we're ready to just shove God all the way out of the culture and we just supplant it with whatever. Amen. This is God now. Getting a good education, that's God now. Getting a good job, that's God now. Whatever makes us feel right about ourselves, as me and Janice were talking back there, it seems to be all about us now. Even when we go to church, church is all about us now. I need a blessing. I need a breakthrough. I need Jesus to come through for me. Pray for me. Amen. What Jesus wants to hear is, how do I reach the people in my building where I live for Jesus? How do I reach the people on my job? That's what he wants to hear. He's already taken care of. You do Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, his kingdom rule, his authority over you. Amen? And his way of right acting, living, thinking, and doing. And then I'll add that stuff. Amen. So if you've left God to chase this stuff, that's why you're chasing. Little Craig cracked me up. He said, chasing money like them dollars got feet. Amen. If you're chasing money like your dollars got feet, that's why. The easy way is to seek the Lord and to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And then he'll add that stuff. In other words, you'll wake up and walk right into it. You'll wake up and it will come to you. I don't want to share this testimony, but Jesus wanted me to share it. How many of y'all know I had a race truck? I had been playing with selling it for 5 years. Well, since 2015. Just playing with selling. Put a ridiculous price on it. That I knew nobody would really pay, and if they did, I would take it. But I kept complaining to Jesus why nobody would buy it, why it was still sitting there. I drive it maybe 2-3 times a year, and I'm just letting it sit there, but I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, a week or so ago, a guy came to my house from Canton, Michigan, named Bratman. And the way he was talking, I said to him, look, it'll be here. You change your mind, you can come get it. He said, well, we're driving this home today. Amen. What am I telling you? I didn't expect to do that, to sell it. In fact, I had canceled it and told him, you can just come back later. But the Lord knew. Amen. And the Lord made the sale go through. I got more than what I thought I would get. Amen. I didn't go after that. I was going after Jesus. And my concern when I wake up is this stuff. If you follow me on Facebook, you know I'm always with Jesus stuff. Unless I tell a joke, it's Jesus stuff. Amen? So he takes care of my stuff because I'm not concerned about that stuff. I simply ask him for this, that, or the other. Then I'll be about his business because I know he's about my business. See, he don't want me to become so earthly-minded I ain't no heavenly good, and he don't want me so heavenly-minded I ain't no heavenly good. Heavenly-minded I ain't no earthly good. What I'm telling you is to concentrate on him, and he'll concentrate on you. But if you're concentrated on that and them, then you ain't concentrated on him, and you ain't really asking him nothing. Amen? And Jesus ain't about supporting your whatever you think your life should be like, whatever you call your best life. You need to find the life that he intended for you to live before you got here. Don't you know? Well, again, let me sober you up. Raise your hand if you ask to come here. Raise your hand if you ask for the parents you got. Raise your hand if you ask to be the color you are. Okay, so we were completely left out of that decision. That choice was made by God. Also, when he made that choice, have you found out why God set you apart for his service? Have you found out what God has ordained you to do? You are not just here to work to pay bills. You're here to serve him on purpose. Your life should be intentional. You should wake up every day knowing what you're doing for the Lord. If it's no more than I need to somehow tell somebody about Jesus. You know, I wear this shirt when we go walking or wherever I go. I like to throw one on, and it always gets somebody's attention. I can tell when I'm talking to somebody who don't know Jesus because when they see it, they respond to it the same way Satan would. They don't like it. But if they're with Jesus, they smile. And they'll look at me and stare at me. And then they'll say, I like that. Amen? That's being intentional about this Christian life. If your life is secular Monday through Saturday up until Sunday morning, you cannot expect spiritual things to happen on your behalf, amen, through the days you need those things to happen. It's good to be spiritual in church, but it's even better to be spiritual outside where the devil and them is really attacking. They don't come here too much. So the word be around here, a correct word, and they don't like that. Amen. But when you get out there, just like Dr. Tony Evans said this morning, when Moses got 40 years old, it was because of what his mother had instilled in him that made him able to come to a decision to follow God, to believe what God had promised Abraham, that God was going to send somebody to bring them out. Moses came to know that he was that certain someone. And he did that thing. So God got a purpose for your life. So there'll be a great falling away. A lot of evil is going to start taking place, pretty much like it is today. People will become emboldened. They'll be acting as if they said, well, I've been doing this forever and God ain't did nothing. We're this evil and God ain't did nothing. We're doing this and God ain't did nothing. Folks are tapping the capital, God ain't do nothing. Evil will increase. Evil will abound. We'll be seeing more and more and more of it. Now, we are not to be astounded. I think it's in Luke. He tells us when you see Luke, what is it, Luke 21 and 25, or 31. Read the whole chapter. You'll find it. He says, when you see all these things happening, rejoice, because the end of the church age is near. So when we see, we need to pay attention to what, do we even know what all those things are? Because then when Christians trip me out, they see all these things happening, and they get scared. Devil just on the rampage. They all start talking real crazy. They all went real crazy. Devil getting crazy around here. Amen. I told him we don't take time of that stuff around here. But he just kept on acting. Amen. But we're going to see evil on the rise. Do not be dismayed. Don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. This is what the Lord told us would happen. We should be rejoicing. Why? Because what Jesus said is coming to pass. What God said is happening. So don't let all this evil arise. Now, one of the things that we may get to see, I'm hoping, is the Antichrist. Oh, the Antichrist could be in the world right now. They say that he's going to come out of Europe. And soon as he comes to power, as soon as he takes his place, guess what? We out of here. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 4 tells us. Paul's talking to the Thessalonians who have been mixed up. The devil sent somebody down there to mix them up. So Paul writes to them to straighten them out about the end times and about us being gathered to the Lord. God don't want us mixed up about that stuff. I am glad Satan was done, but so somebody, can you say but in church?
Yeah.
With two T's. Amen. I'm glad Satan sent somebody down there to mix that church up. You know why I'm there? Because Jesus is going to send somebody down there to straighten that church out. Jesus is going to send somebody down there to tell the truth and shame the devil. And so we know that there'll be a great falling away before the rapture happens. Now, what you read in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, well, the rapture has happened. That is the church called the 24 elders in heaven. Now, some folks who are post-tribulationists, these are folks who believe the church will get raptured after the seven-year tribulation and then come immediately back with Jesus and reign for 1,000 years. Bible don't teach that. Bible teaches in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia, the Lord says, those who've been faithful to me throughout the church age, while they're in the church age, while evil is rampant and going everywhere, those who endure to the end, those who walk according to my word, I'm going to keep them from. The Bible says I'm going to keep them from a time that's coming on the earth like it's never been before. So the Lord says he's going to keep us from the seven-year tribulation period. He's going to rapture us out of the world in the church age before it starts. We'll be called away, harpazo, right, snatched away. Don't look for the word rapture in the Bible. You won't find it. But what you will find is the action. We'll be snatched away. First Thessalonians talks about it. Read all of Thessalonians, both of them. They'll get you ready for it. Amen. You read Revelations 1, 2, and 3. I did a study with a man. His name is Otis Thompson. He's a black man. Wrote a book on Christian history. So far, he's the only one I've ever found that wrote on Christian history. Otis Thompson, he wrote his book around 1991. I got it through Pastor Hill. That book was so deep. He took those churches and he sectioned them off to different periods in history. And each one of those churches reflected the culture in that particular time in history. I know it because I searched it out. I don't believe nobody until I searched it out. I've got to see it connect up with the Word of God before I even come close to believing it. I don't believe what people, I don't care who you are or how many numbers or letters you got behind your name or what. I don't care how many members you got or how long you've been doing whatever. I don't believe you until the word proves what you said. I'm a Berean. I am going home and I'm going to open my Bible to see if what you said was true. Based on what God said, if what you said lined up with what God said, textually and contextually correct, I'm with. If not, I'm not. But Otis Thompson did a work, and he took the church at Ephesus, he took the church at Smyrna, Thyatira, all of them, especially Sardis. He did a lot of talking on that. Amen. And he connected each one of those churches that you find in Revelation with a particular period in history. And go study that particular period in history, and I guarantee you, you're going to find what John wrote about that particular church. That was the behavior of the church in the world in a particular period of history, and you will find it to be so. The last two churches that he wrote about, and this is where we are today. Even we are the church of Philadelphia. Not really big, not a whole lot of them, but they're doing a great work. And they're enduring to the end. And they're living out their faith. So what's going on around them is not bothering them. It's not dissuading them from doing what the Lord called them to do. They're moving on. And then you have the church in Laodicea. And this is the church that we recognize today, because the Laodicean church or Christian don't need God. The Laodicean Christian don't go to church except when they want to. The Laodicean Christian never do no Bible study. And why? Because they have everything they need. The Laodicean Christian is living apart from God, just claims him by name. They just claim him by name, but they don't need him for nothing. Because when the Lord talks to them, he said, you think you're rich. You think you can see. You think you got this. You think you got that. But what you need to do is get something real. Everything they had was temporary. Everything they had only worked while they were here. But after they left here, they're like the rich man that Jesus told the story about. He's, while he was on earth, he fared sumptuously every day. And he was dressed in a royal array, right? But when he left here, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell and was in torment. So Laodicean Christians, I don't know if I'd want to be one. Amen. I don't want to be no Smyrna Christian either. The Laodicean, I don't want to be where Jesus is about to spew me out of his mouth. Amen. So the church gets raptured after all of world history, after the church age, which those three books describe, comes to an end. Then we're raptured. And guess what? Have you ever heard, remember Fannie Kennedy Carmen? How she would say, look at me. I got my long white robe. You know what she was talking about? Revelation chapter 4. Because if you read Revelation chapter 4, we are there with crowns on our heads. We are there dressed in long white robes. Those crowns, what did we do while we was here? Will determine how many jewels and rubies are in it. That long white robe represents the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which we are covered in. That's why we're there. So God's plan is to get us around his throne. Remember when the Lord showed me that the first time, I said, wait a minute, Jesus. Hold up. Hold up again. He held up three times. Say what? I say, so if I am there, if God sees me there right now, standing in his presence with my crown and my robe on, which in chapter 5 I'm cast at his feet, but if the Lord sees me there, then that means nothing that happens from here to there can stop me from getting there. So after I figured that out, I got kind of crazy because I didn't care about nothing no more. But amen, I found out you still had to care about stuff. Amen, but it took away that worry.
Yeah.
When something popped up, you know what I told the Jews? I said, you got a problem because you were in the way with me getting there. You finna go down Jericho Wall. You getting ready to get across Jordan River. Oh, Red Sea, you getting ready to be parted. It blessed me. It made me come back here and want to work. It made me come back here and not be concerned about the things that happen to me every day. Why? You're in the way of me getting there. And even if I do sit here and cry, even if I do sit here and depressed, even if I do tell Jesus, this is too much, guess what? Even that, my despairing is not enough to keep me from getting there. Because God sees me, Ed. God sees us, Rebecca, right there around his throne, and the Lord wrote it into his word. I believe God. I believe God that I'm going to end up there. And let me tell you something. You're going to be real happy you know Jesus and that Jesus got you there. You ain't going to care that your works didn't do it. You ain't going to care that your money, your job, your station in life didn't do it. You're going to be so happy that Jesus got you there because, boy, when he unleashed on this world during the seven-year tribulation period, when he unleashed, Jesus goes, whoo. You know, I say, Lord, when I looked at them first 3.5 years, Janice, I say, wormwood. What is a wormwood? You know what wormwood is? It's like some big giant meteorite. And it ain't holding out there no more. Jesus done took his hand off it, and now it's falling to earth. It's about 50 miles wide. Amen. And when it hits the earth, it's just going to wreak destruction everywhere. It's going to tear up the wall. But guess what? In the first 3.5 years, you read about them between chapters 6 and I would say 9, because 10, 11, and 12 are transitional to the second 3.5 years. In the chapter 5, the best way to understand the tribulation period is to understand Revelation. Memorize these chapters. Memorize what happens there. Amen. And then erase the chapters and just memorize what happens in the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. In the first 3.5 years, there will be catastrophic, cataclysmic events going on earth like we've never seen before. Events that will make a third of the water undrinkable. Events that will take and kill off 30 people. Events that will, everything that happens in the first 3.5 years, just to make this short, because these times have come too close, amen, everything that makes the first 3.5 years horrible are only partial judgments from God. Partial. A third of the grass got burned up. A third of the fish in the sea died. Okay? A fourth of all the people got killed. And when you do the numbers, if there's 7 billion people in the world today, and there's 2.5 billion estimated to be saved, that leaves, what, 4.5 billion people in the world. Well, if you take out a third of those, that leaves, what, about 3-something billion people in the world. And that's during the first half of the tribulation period. In the second half of the tribulation period, when the devil gets cut off, that's why I said chapters 9, 10, and 11 are transitional. Chapter 9 begins the end of the first half of the 3-year tribulation catastrophes. You need to read about it. Go home and read about it. And if you get questions about it, go to my YouTube page and click on The Last Days. The whole series right there will take you all the way through. Amen? After those days are ended, amen. But let me give you a quick rundown, just real quick, because I got to come to an end. Chapter 5 opens the scene up with John. John has been taken forward from AD 100 to a time that we don't even know about right now, because John was taken forward to the throne room of God. He is the one who records that we're there. After that, they go to chapter 5. And then what's revealed in heaven, God shows that he has a scroll. And that scroll is all rolled up. And that scroll has 7 seals on it. And then there's an announcement made that there's nobody worthy to open the scrolls. Now, why is John crying about this? Because if those scrolls don't open, the rest of the end is not known to us. We stop at chapter 5. We don't have chapter 6. We don't have chapter 7 or any of the other chapters. We don't know what happens after chapter 5. So John is concerned that there's nobody to open up the revelation to reveal to us what's going to happen after this. We're doing those 7 years. So John started crying. But thank God Sharon is in here. Amen. Sharon, you don't even have to ask her. She see you crying. She'll just grab some tissue. She'll just get that tissue come walking right over to you. That's what you need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They don't need a lot of that in heaven, so they only had one. Amen. So Sharon is like, come on, come on. We don't even, come on, John. We don't, I know you're still in your mortal body. I know you're still with limited understanding. You ain't been raptured yet, so you don't know like we know. But Sharon say, look, see over there? That's the Lamb. Okay? He was slain from the foundation of the world. And guess what, John? He's worthy to open the seal. So go ahead along and stop your crying. We don't do that up here. We know everything. Anywhere you read in the Bible about the 24 elders in the book of Revelation, that is the church. Amen? That is the church in heaven. So you get a glimpse at what we'll be doing in heaven. And what I don't want you to miss there is one of us walked over and explained what was happening. Not an angel, not Jesus, not the Holy Ghost, not our Father in heaven, but one of us walked over. Read Revelation and see them 24 elders and see what they know. As Corinthians tells us, right now we know everything in part, a little bit of. But it says that when we cross over, we will know even as we're known. So now Sharon is in heaven and she's an authority. She's able to go over to John and explain to him what mortals cannot understand about the eternal. Why? Because she's been raptured. And now she knows everything. And now people who used to act like they knew everything really do know everything. Amen? But they ain't ignorant about it. They just know what they know. And they just live their life. So that is the first glimpse of us away from here in heaven. That is the first glimpse of how perfection works. See, right now, we don't know everything, but there we will. We won't have to ask no more questions. Like Jesus' disciples told him in John chapter 16, see, now you're speaking plainly, and we know that nobody needs to ask you anything. Why? Because you have made it plain to us. So in chapter 5, that transition happens. The scrolls start to get open in chapter 6, and what you read is about those four horsemen of the apocalypse. Don't get confused thinking this going to happen at this time, this going to happen, or this horse. No, all those things going to be happening throughout the seven-year tribulation period. It's as if the Lord is giving you an outline. Okay, but this is going to happen throughout the seven-year tribulation period. It will be horrible on earth. Catastrophes you need to read about. And in chapter 7, he protects all his people who are going to be serving him, and that's 144,000 Jews because the church has been raptured. God needs a witness for the tribulation period. Why not have 144,000 Jews who are thoroughly versed with God's word to be his witnesses? Also, there will be two prophets. You won't meet them until you get to chapter 11, but them two will be wrecking the earth at will. And if you try to mess with them, the Bible says fire comes from their mouth and consume anybody that comes against them. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Amen. So the Jews going to be running around witnessing. God says stop everything from happening. Protect them. Cover them. And then when you get to chapter 8 and chapter 9, the Lord started doing things, Daniel, like we ain't never seen before. I mean, we think we've seen a rainstorm. You ain't seen nothing until you see a hole. What we just went through is nothing to be compared to what they're going to go through. The earth will be like, when you watch these movies about the end time, they show the earth in a relatively pretty good state. People still driving, people still flying planes and everything. But let me tell you something. When the rapture happens, Rebecca, if you fly in a plane, guess what happens when they take you out of it? You're in your co-pilot. But you find a military jet. You got bombs on it. You find a B-52. They have nukes on it. You're in a submarine that got nukes on it. Hey, man, you driving a train that goes 250 miles an hour, and you and the co-pilot just got wrecked. The catastrophes, the destruction that's going to take place just from the rapture, hey, man, it's going to tear this planet up. You're talking about our infrastructure being tore up now. Wait till then. You're talking about disastrous plane crashes then. Imagine every pilot just got raptured. And the folks in the back don't even know it because the pilot ain't getting on there saying, I just got raptured. Put on your seatbelt. Hey, man, there'll be no warning. So there's those first 3.5 years is going to be horrible. If that ain't bad enough, in chapter 12, Satan get into a fight with Michael and them. Michael and them prevail against him and kick him out of heaven. See, right now, we read in Job, we saw where Satan went up with the sons of God in the presence of God. But in Revelation chapter 12, he's getting kicked out. He's going to be confined to 3.5 more years of life. Imagine that. You're creating an angel. You don't even understand death. Death is foreign to you. But now Satan knows he got 3.5 years left. And so once he's kicked out of heaven, he's not real happy. Then you get a story of the progression through time. It tells us that first he went after Israel. Because he didn't know where Jesus was coming from, and he's trying to stop Genesis 3:15. So he tries throughout the Old Testament to kill Jesus. The Old Testament, Israel, is called the woman. She is the woman. And this woman gives birth to a nation called Israel. Israel gives birth to the church. Amen. Well, Jesus birthed the church through the Holy Spirit, but we descended from them. It started there, completed in Christ here. And so he's going to go after the woman, but God protects her. He's going to go after the offspring, and that's the people who have accepted Christ during the 7-year tribulation period. He's going to go after them. So the last, that's when you get to 13 and 14, and the last 3 years of his life, of his freedom, of his ruling this mess that he's made down here, he knows that his time is short. Now think about this. You're not even really under time because you're eternal and you exist in an eternal state. But now you have to be concerned with time. Satan's going to become like us. He knows that he has but a short time. And he know God said it, so he know his time is short. We might not believe God when God says something, but you better believe them demons do. They might not do what God tells them to do or live like he tells them to live. They remember. And they know who he is. We know Jesus. And we know Paul, who Jesus empowered. They know. Then you get to chapters 14, transitional, 15, transitional, then 16, it's a wrap. The stuff that God started doing the planet is no longer a fourth of this, a third of that. Everything is getting tore up, and my time is up. Everything is getting tore up. But where's the church? Oh, we over here doing our little dance. We over here snake walking. So Moses know how to snake walk. Amen. Why? Because we in heaven. We are out of this. We don't have to make no more money. We don't have to buy no more cars. We ain't got to pay no more rent. We ain't got to worry about getting sick and can't get well. We ain't got to worry about running around and having to come out pray for me. No more of that. It's over. But it's not over for the world. Amen. So next week when we come back, Lord willing, and we're here in the same place, amen, we're going to talk about the white throne judgment. We're going to talk about, well, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We're going to talk about the white throne judgment. And then we're going to talk about Revelation 21 and 22. That is when everything's over and we just at home with the Lord. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The old things that messed them up are passed away. Lolo won't be no more devil. He's going to get kicked into hell. I mean, he thought he got kicked into the abyss. Chained up and thrown in there like trash, he's going to get kicked in the head. And everybody who follows him. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we thank you today. Father, who are we that you share these things with us? Who are we, Lord, that you open up heaven and let us look in? Who are we, Lord, that you would seek to encourage us in this kind of way, letting us see what our end is, letting us see that we win? Thank you, Father, for that encouragement, because we know now that nothing will ever stop us from getting there unless your word fails. It will be the first time in existence that your word fails. So I don't believe it's going to happen. You said in your word will not return to you void, having not accomplished what you sent it out to do. So we know everything that we read in Revelation, we might not understand it, we might not get it, but we know you got us. And we know we're coming there. And we know we're going to be with you, Father, around your throne with our crowns, with our robes. And yes, over in Revelation chapter 5, we cast them crowns right at Jesus' feet, because only the Lamb is worthy to receive honor, praise, and glory. All praise and honor be to him. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us, for what you've shown us. Don't let the devil pull that big giant eraser out and erase the future that you showed us, because that future, well, that's our prize, Father. And if we keep our eye on that prize, then we will not be dismayed, discouraged by the things that happen to us or happen around us on our way from here to there. Jesus, we love you so much. You said in your own word when your disciples came to you, they said to you, Lord, why is it that you speak to people in parables and in riddles and not plainly? But you said to them, it is given to you to know the things that were previously hidden, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and to them it's not. So, Lord, let us count it as a privilege to know these things, because there are folks who do not know. But you've blessed us to know. Let us walk according to what we know, not things we're guessing about or supposing about, the things we know for sure, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord, for sharing. In Jesus' name, let us keep it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right.
Hey, y'all. Good morning.
For real.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'm so used to doing announcements on Saturdays and Sundays on Blog Talk that I forgot that I still have announcements in here. So you get the abridged version this morning. If you want the 20-minute sermon and all that, you just have to go back on Blog Talk and listen. So we just want to acknowledge the fact that it's time for our new class. Starting tomorrow at 6 o'clock, get a grip. And so we're really excited about that. And so I'll just give you a little synopsis. It's called Get a Grip, and it speaks about mental health and Christianity, keeping it together when things go wrong. So have you ever felt like you were losing your mind? Of course, we can all say yes. Such thoughts are natural, given the temptations we face, especially during times of loss. But God has equipped you with supernatural weapons to battle for your grip on sanity. So join us on Mondays, starting tomorrow, September 13th, at 6 p.m., as we delve into what the Bible tells us about mental health. Each week, a new topic on the crises people encounter, such as illness, death of a loved one, or betrayal, will be introduced. And that's enough right there to kind of make you go a little crazy, okay? So Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, raise your hand. Thank you. She is an amazing teacher, and she is going to be the teacher for this class, and she's going to guide us through how people in the Bible and those living through our times have faced mental challenges. More importantly, you will come to understand how to prevail in these spiritual battles. So we're all going to study together. It's an interactive course, and it's just going to show you how to get a grip. So God's promises, according to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and Philippians 4, 7, that minds and hearts focusing on and trusting in the Lord can and will enjoy perfect peace. Amen. So if you haven't set yourself a reminder for Monday, beginning tomorrow at 6 o'clock, on Blog Talk Radio, please do. I think we all are going to benefit tremendously from this class. Pastor did send an email about what we're going to kind of be talking about. There's books in the Bible, and I thought it was really weird. I'm actually teaching the book of Job. And then, okay. And then that's exactly what we're going to be talking about initially. So we know that June is an excellent teacher. She has things all in order. So just make sure you tune in. People think mental health is bad. It means that you're crazy or you've lost your mind. No, we all have mental health that we have to care for. And it's not just that you've gone crazy, but it's also keeps you from going straight crazy, okay? And so we know that the Word of God can help us do that. So Pastor sent an email. Pastor, I don't know, is that information going to be on? Is that going to be updated every week or just? Okay. Okay, so every week. Okay. Okay, y'all heard that. So make sure you check the website and your email every week for the information about Get a Grip. Also, again, our Bible reading class is on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. I'm teaching this week the books of Job, chapters 8 through 14. So the questions were emailed. They are online for you to access. They are also copies back there on the back table if you want to grab them to participate. Those are some of the hardest questions to ever come up with. But we have a really great discussion. So if you're not listening, please tune in, and don't forget that everything that we have on Blog Talk Radio is archived, recorded, and it's available 24/7, 365. Also, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, you know Reverend Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio. He's got an hour speaking about training day. So Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, if you're not listening, make sure to tune in for that. Also, the fourth Wednesday of every month until November, from right around 10 a.m. to 1:30, you know, First Fruit Living Ministries with Minister Shelley and Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to participate, is out here at the bus stop in front of the church building, giving out lunches and Bibles and praying with people and restoring people and rededicating people back to and back in Christ. So if you're able to make it out, I think the fourth Wednesday of this month is the 22nd. So if you're able to make it out starting at 10 o'clock, please do. Also, today is Sunday, and so every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, would you raise your hand, ma'am? Thank you kindly. She has her own show, Back to the Family. Amen. And it discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today, and it explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. So today, every Sunday at 4 o'clock, you can find her call-in number on our church website under Christian Resources. I always say it's a different number that we always use to call in for our Sunday services and our classes. Also, there is a link on the website under Christian Resources, and the website address is bbtfus.com, right? BringBackTheFamilyUS.com. So you can also go on there and get some information. You guys know if you want to pay tithes and offerings or give any additional offerings, rfcm.org is the place where most people go. Let's see, I'm not going to read all that. We just want to make sure that we're continuing to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. I think that's pretty clear. Birthdays, so Mother Persia, raise your hand. Amen. She celebrated on the 2nd of this month. Pastor O's daughter Dion celebrated on the 5th. Torin on the 7th, Brother Deacon Oliver Welch celebrated on yesterday. Deacon Charles Mackey on the 12th. Deacon Charles Tate on the 14th. TJ on the 17th. Pastor O on the 18th. Nakia on the 21st. And Deacon S. Kathy on the 22nd. So should be a lot of cake and ice cream and stuff flowing this month. So happy birthday to all of you guys. And, yeah, I think that's it. If you want all that extra filler stuff that I read, y'all just have to listen to Saturday worship. Amen? Amen.
to be forget one. This will be back on the back table. I mentioned last week about meeting our girls to tech school. The information will be on the back table with the QR code and how much and where you can give for Bondage Breaker to get Sylvia into technical school in Kenya. So if you want to help, want to support, it's the information on the back. She thought it was for her. That's all right. That's good. It's for you too then. All right. It's for everybody. I mentioned it last week, so the information is here. That's okay. That's why we are a group. Standing to your feet. Again, remember to pray for each other. Pray for all those who are still enduring the hardships that are going on in our nation. All those things that mentioned in the scripture, famine, fire, flood, pestilence, all that stuff, that's happening worldwide, y'all. It's not just here in America. We so isolated that we think we only got fires here. Biggest forest fires in the world are burning in Greece and in Kuwait and places like that. The Amazon is being wrecked. So everybody needs prayer, political unrest everywhere. Pray this week especially because those on the 18th, those people have planned to go back to the Capitol and protest. Pray. 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 That's all we do. For each other as well. You know, school is opening. Please pray. School's already open. Please pray. There's a lot more going on. Ask people what's going on so you know how to pray. Don't just say, well, I'm praying for you. Nope. Ask them, what do you need me to pray for? What do you need? All right. With that being said, all this work that we have to do, we shouldn't be idle. We shouldn't be sitting around with nothing to do. There's always something to be done. The biggest thing is declaring the name. While everybody else is calling all these other praises, there's only one name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved.
You can love him. Lift your hands in praise. If you love him, stay with us today. If you love him, lift your voice and shout. Oh, glory, hallelujah. If you love him, open up your mouth. If you love him, let him say his name. Every nation, speak of your
thank you.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. All God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey.